Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me? I want to read to you Psalm 30 tonight and focus a thought that's going to be the introduction to a series that I'm going to be doing on when to be silent and when to speak. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about when we ought to speak and when we ought not to speak. And just about every frame of reference in the Scriptures concerning, you know, silence or when to speak has to do with timing. This is very interesting. Whenever I began this study on my own and my own personal devotions, that timing is so important. Some people are just like bulls in a china shop. They just jump in and they run around and they don't care what collateral damage gets done. They're gonna get their opinion across. They're gonna get their thing. And many times you have to wait. And let God bring about the circumstances so you can move into that situation and bring calm instead of chaos. How many of you believe that calm's better than chaos? I think that's pretty clear from God's Word. Isn't that what Jesus did on the Sea of Galilee? There was chaos, and what did He do? He spoke, and there was calm. When we live in a world that is so chaotic, many times that begins to creep into our lives. Do you know that one of the ways in which you can be a testimony and a witness in this world is by the way you live, where there's a calmness and a peace? Do I hear an amen? A calmness and a peace. You know, it troubles me whenever there's chaos and there should be peace. There should be, you know, organized, you know, lives and so forth. And so many times it's just chaotic and we just run it all over the place. And that nobody finds any kind of assurance. Nobody finds any kind of stability in that. And that's what we have in the world. You think about how in just, you know, 8 months, the chaos that's reigning in our country. It's chaos. People are, they're blown about with every wind of doctrine. Just whatever the waves are blowing and the winds are blowing, whatever way it is, we just ride along with it. God doesn't want jellyfish in His church. You know what He wants? He wants people that'll swim upstream for Him. And that's what we don't have a lot of times in churches. Across, we have people that just, I don't want to deal with it. Well, what happened to being a witness for Christ? Why would you allow your life to sink into chaos? This psalm right here is one of the most beautiful psalms of a godly man crying out to his Lord and seeking his Lord to be powerful in his life, to overcome the circumstances of his life, and that he in turn would return praise and glory, and as the last verse says, and not be silent. Let's read this psalm. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Now get that. Let that soak in. At the remembrance of His what? His holiness. His purity. I don't even know how to say this, His utter separation from anything that would taint His character. That's our God. And I'm supposed to rejoice in that. Not only that, for His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved, Lord. By thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? We're going to come back to verse 9 in just a moment. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praises to thee and not be, what's that next word? Silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Now, the reference to silent there has to do with his dying. And he goes in verse 9, we understand this. What profit is there in my blood? In other words, him being killed. What profit is there when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? In other words, Lord, you've spared me for the purpose of bringing praise to thee and declaring thy truth. You know, when Hezekiah cried out to God for an extended life, this was not in his mind. He was afraid of dying. It's very clear from the text. He was afraid of dying and he begged God to extend his life. So God gave him 15 more years. And what did Hezekiah do with those 15 more years? He had another son by the name of Manasseh that became the utter disdain of the children of Israel. That man corrupted everything he touched. That's what Hezekiah left behind during the 15 years. We don't find any greatness mentioned of Hezekiah during that time. He didn't use that time to praise God and to proclaim forth His truth. He used it for himself. Most people are afraid to die. The Bible brings that out. Most people are afraid to die. And a lot of people will cry out and say, God, give me more time. But what are you going to use that time for? David said in verse 9, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? What he's saying is, Lord, with the extended time that you give me, I'm going to praise your name. I'm not going to be silent. And not only that, I am going to declare thy truth. And by the way, when you read 150 Psalms, what do you see there? A declaration of truth. And you see praise that's rejoicing over and over and over again in the greatness of God. Some great doctrinal truths about the future are given to us in the Psalms. The glories of His majesty and power are given to us in the Psalms. That's why we find such comfort and strength in reading the Psalms. David said, Lord, you spared my life, and I'm going to return to you my praise and the declaration of thy truth. Isn't that wonderful? He was going to use those extended days for the glory of God. He said, I will not be silent. I will not be silent. You know, I don't know how many days you and I will have here upon this earth. Some people live many, many years. I've said this before. I've never wished to live to be 100. I've never put it out there. I want to live to be 100 years of age. Been around some 100-year-olds and totally having to be cared for. I don't want people to have to do that. If the Lord allows that to happen, then so be it. But I'm not asking Him for that. I want to be used of Him, and then whenever He's done with me, I want to go on to glory. I want to make sure, by God's grace, that I use my days that I have, and whatever those might be. I might not have another day. Something might happen tonight or on my way home. There was a pastor out in California after a Wednesday night service. Took his dog for a walk. Never came home. His wife got concerned. He had been killed along with the dog, waiting for the cross light, the white character to go across. He got it, started to walk. Somebody was driving along, not paying attention, ran him down, killed him instantly, and the dog. life snuffed out at 62 years of age. You talk about sending a church into turmoil. They lost their pastor on a Wednesday night after church in Northern California. He preached a message that night, but it was his last one. He had no idea. And you don't have any idea either. So what should we do with our time? When it comes to living our lives, we ought to be a constant testimony of praise to our God. In a world of utter chaos, let there be peace and grace and mercy lived in our lives. Some people look at us and they see nothing but chaos and they say, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. Nobody sets some chaotic figure as being their hero. That's why political leaders are right above, well, actually they're below now lawyers. Sorry about that, Bill. They're below lawyers as far as, you know, how people view them. And by the way, right down there with the politicians now, you know what's lower rated? The major networks. They're now in single digits under politicians. You didn't think that you could go any lower than politicians. You and I need to give hope in a chaotic world. And you will not give hope if you live chaotically. You will not. People will look at you and say, I don't want to be like that. They say they're a Christian, but they sure don't live like one. They sure don't have the peace of God in their hearts. People live up and down. They're all over the map all the time. We need to be stable in the Word. That doesn't mean our lives are going to be problem-free. Work in a Christian school one day, and you find out how quick that happens. Work in a camp program, and you'll find out how many problems you can have in a day. It's just an amazing. God didn't ever promise a problem-free life, but He did say, I'll give you my peace. David was at a critical time in his life, and God had delivered him, and his return was, Lord, in the days that you've given to me, I'm going to praise your name. I will not be silent. And you and I need to speak up for God in this chaotic world. And not just talk about Jesus, live the Lord Jesus every day of your life. Father in heaven, I pray that you would use this passage to teach us as we begin this series on when to be silent and when to speak, and help us to take to heart this challenge from David, who had cried out to thee during a critical time in his life, one of great sickness or illness, and you delivered him. And he said, Lord, I'm going to use the days that you've given me to utter your praise and to tell forth your truth and not be silent. What a wonderful testimony. Help us, Lord, to take to heart this challenge, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.